This is the first time, right? Be bold. We'd love to hear each of you share God's word during this year. So we're beginning a new series today, and I hope you're excited about it. It's called Come Find Joy. How many of you need joy?
Right here.
Yep. Some of you don't. Wow. I need it. I definitely need it. That's exactly right. Especially the joy of the Lord. And this message today is a new beginning. And we're going to learn a little background first about Philippians and Philippi. This book in the Bible is one of the favorites of many Christians. It's practical. It's easy to read. Not one of those you go, what? It's a message that's just as current now as it was when Paul wrote it way back. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. The church in Philippi was started by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey in the year AD 49. So this is an extremely early church, and it is the first church that Paul starts. If you think about when Jesus died, when he was crucified, we don't know the exact year, but somewhere in the 30s, AD 30s. So this is very fresh after the death and resurrection of Christ. Paul is now, when this letter is being written, he is now in Rome and he is in prison. We hear that the Philippian church gets word that he is in prison, and they're upset because they care deeply about him. They send Epaphroditus, a major leader in their church, to check on him. So how far is it, do you think, between Rome and Philippi? Take a guess. What'd you say? A couple thousand miles? That'd be a long way. Try 4,806 miles. We don't get the impact of the gift that Epaphroditus is giving until we understand they didn't have airplanes. They didn't have trains and cars. We don't know whether he walked it, whether he rode a camel, whether he rode a horse. We don't know. But what we do know is he traveled over 4,800 miles to bring encouragement to his pastor. That's powerful. Epaphroditus delivers a financial gift to Paul out of gratitude for his ministry in Philippi. He brings Paul an update on the church, and he lets Paul know how deeply loved he is by the church in Philippi. The book of Philippians is Paul's response to the visit and to the news. He wrote to thank them. He's a good boy. He wrote thank you notes. To thank them for their generosity. He wrote to update them on the situation he is in Rome. He wrote to pastor them, as he was their founding pastor. And most of all, he wrote to encourage them. It's a wonderful book. I will encourage you, as we go through the next weeks doing this book, that you read the book of Philippians over and over and over and over, letting God's word speak to you. And you go, oh, I can't read a whole book in the Bible. Good news, 4 chapters. It's a short book, but it's powerful. Philippi was a Roman colony in northeast Greece. So now you can think, northeast Greece to Rome down at the bottom of Italy. That gives you a kind of an idea of where this is. It was a gateway between Europe and Asia. And the people in the church spoke Greek, not Latin, which is interesting. They have been dominated by the Romans, but they are Greek in origin. The major theme of this book is joy. Why not read a book on joy? Anybody need joy? Right? See, well, we'll do that. I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? Right. So Sorry, used to teach Sunday school. The word joy or rejoice is used 16 times in the book. Again, it's only 4 chapters. That's a lot. It can be summed up as this. You can have joy even in the midst of the most difficult situations you may face in life. Let me say that again. You can have joy even in the midst of the most difficult situations you may face in life. How many of you have faced or are facing difficult situations? Probably, if you're honest, almost everyone would raise their hand. At some point, you have experienced this, and this book, when you come to this book to read it, can encourage you and heal your heart. Do you think this is a good choice of a book to study? Yeah. The Biblical Story Committee, raise your hand if you're on the Biblical Story Committee. There we go, Betty. Who else?
I didn't hear the question.
Who was on the Biblical Story Committee? We had Betty. Marcia, your hand should be up. She's not admitting it. Marcia was on the committee. Who else was on the committee? Judy Anderson was on the committee. I think there was one more. Can't remember. That's bad. I should have written it down. Sandra. I thought it was you. Okay, so the Biblical Story Committee, this is part of the Vitality Process, got together several months ago and spent time in prayer, spent time looking through Scripture, asking God to open their hearts to a story that would reflect where this church is right now. Do you remember what your biblical story was when you went through the vitality process? Joshua, crossing the Jordan. Right. That was an important story, but look where we are now. Now we're working on finding joy. We're working on making a difference in our community. That's where we're headed this year. I hope you are on board. The verse that touched their spirits, the committee's spirits, most deeply is this. It's found in Philippians 3:13-14. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Picture the end of a running race, how they lean forward because they want to cross the finish line first. This is what Paul is saying. He's pressing on towards the goal. And so the committee felt that that is something that we need to be doing. We need not to be pulling backwards towards the goal. We need to be pressing forward. And so we're going to spend time on this book for the next 13 weeks. The message that follows this series will be Palm Sunday, to place it in context. And we're going to have some different things that are going to be developed during this time. I want to wait until I get to meet with the leadership team at the retreat. But there are ideas that I have and that others have brought up to me for making this a journey that will be deeply meaningful to all of us and that will inspire us in our call towards this community, towards this congregation, towards each other. The title of the series is Come Find Joy. Do you need joy? I do. Titles of messages, because I've done all the titles. Don't worry, be happy. That sound fun? Divine contentment. Stinking thinking. No fear. That's just 4. Okay? Very practical. Very compelling. Are you ready to find some joy? Are you? I am. This passage is our first message from this book of Philippians. Paul follows a common letter opening greeting pattern for the time, and he talks about saints. Are you a saint? Doug laughs. Doug, are you a believer?
Am I what?
A believer? Yeah. You're a saint. Carrie says, no, he's not. If you believe in Jesus and have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you're a saint. You may not act like one, but you are a saint. That's what Paul is referring to when he writes to the saints in Philippi. He's writing to the believers. And the passage where he talks about bishops and overseers and elders, those are all words that are used as part of his greeting. It's just translated differently. This is like Paul saying to all of the members of Mission Covenant Church and their leadership team. It's like that. And their deacons. Greetings. That's how this plays out. The greeting itself is followed by a two-part prayer. First prayer is the prayer of thanksgiving. The second prayer is a prayer of intercession, of asking for these people of Philippi to be blessed. The prayer of thanksgiving in the New Revised Standard Version says this: I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. Does Paul the pastor have a strong and deep relationship with his congregation? You bet he does. You bet. This is the first time the book mentions joy. Every time one of the Philippian members, the Philippi church, crosses Paul's mind, he thanks God for that person with joy. Why? Why? They worked with Paul to start the church in Philippi. They supported him through prayer and finances when he was starting the church in Thessalonica. They had just sent him another financial gift for his needs while he was in prison, and they continued to spread the gospel message to the people around them in Philippi. Wow. Are you a person who brings joy to your pastor? I hope you think, yes, yes, I want her to be happy when she thinks about me. I want her to be joyful and to be grateful for each one of you. Are you a person who brings joy to your leadership team, to the people sitting near you, or even across the room? Do we bring joy to one another? That's what we're to be about. When I think of each one of you, I should be joyful. And most of the time I am. I'm human. I'm human and I confess it. But when you think about each person in this room, when our hearts are aligned with God's heart, we will be able to give thanks and have joy that each person here is part of us. Would you agree? Churches struggle with unity. And in this particular passage, or the one that follows this, we're going to talk about unity. And that's where joy comes from, when we're like-minded and we're working together. We're not perfect. We never will be. No congregation is. But we can find joy as we work together. Am I a pastor who inspires that kind of love? I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure. Sometimes I wish that I were better. But I desire to lead you in a way that we can be one team going forward. Please help me to be able to do that if you have thoughts. I think most of us would agree that as a congregation and as pastor, we've got a ways to go to improve. But we can commit to doing that and become better and better and more effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. So what do you need from a pastor? They were happy with Paul. He provided what they needed. What do you need? Help me to know. Guidance, okay? Okay, thank you.
Inspiration.
Okay. This is your chance. Tell me what you need. Okay.
Guidance.
Say that again.
Support.
Support, okay. Hope. I want to encourage you that if you think of something that wasn't mentioned, that you let me know. That you let me know what you need, because I don't always know. I'm intending to spend time with each of you if I can. You might not let me in the door, but I'd like to hear what you need and how I can help you grow. It's a new year. It's a new decade. It's time to kind of look at everything and go, oh, this is what is important to God's people here at Mission Covenant. So what do you think your pastor needs from you? It's a relationship. What do you think I need? Or any pastor needs? Prayer. I need a lot of that. I do. Yes, thank you. I welcome it. I don't want to have to guess. I want to know what you are thinking, what you're feeling, what you need. I can't meet everybody's needs, but I can do my best. This passage, this very short opening to Philippians, is a congregation first saying and acting out what they believe Paul needs, and then Paul responding to them with this letter, helping them to know what they need, how he can help them. Does that make sense? And so it's an interaction between pastor and congregation. And as we go through Philippians, we're on this journey as a team. Right? We're all on this journey to become better and better at following Christ and representing Him in the community. Paul prayed for his people. Do you want me to pray for you? Whether you want me to or not, I'm gonna. Just to let you know. He was grateful for them and their hard work. And I am very grateful for so many of you that put in so much time, whether it's sitting at home in prayer or coming out and painting. I'm grateful for you. He believed in them. And you know what? I believe in you. I know that we can do things that will only be explained by God's power. And I'm excited about that. And He trusted them to do ministry even when He was thousands of miles away. And I want you to feel that I trust you and that your leadership team trusts you in exactly the same way. It's vital that when we're here together for worship, when we're working together in the community, when we meet together for other purposes, that we find joy. Last meeting you went to somewhere, let's don't even pick on the church, somewhere. Did you find joy? Ooh. Some meetings are fun. And it's not just about having fun. It's about a deep sense of joy. That you are doing exactly what you were created to do with the people that God created you to do it with. That's what joy is. What did the Philippians do that brought their pastor such joy? They prayed for him. They took care of his needs. They spread the gospel. They had a strong desire to grow in their faith. They were faithful to their church and to one another. And guess what? Your pastor's no different. I'm grateful for the partnership in the gospel that we can have. I pray that that partnership will bring us joy as we go forward this year. In the second part of the prayer, Paul prays for the people. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." He prays that the people will have the right motivation, that everything is done for the glory and praise of God. What might be some wrong motivations? This is a church with a ministry in Philippi. He prays that this will be for the glory and praise of God. What might other motivations be? Statistics, good. Thank you. What else?
Personal pride.
Personal pride. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah. So as we start this series of Philippians, we need to be reminded that everything that we do as believers, everything that we do for as a congregation, must be for the glory and praise of God. Not for ourselves, for God. He prays that their love may overflow. The more they learn about Christ and how much he loves them, the more their love grows for him and for each other. The more time we spend with Christ in prayer, in study, in meditation, in worship, and in mission, the more we understand what he wants us to do as a church and as individuals. We have lots of important decisions to make this year, next year, the next year, and beyond. If we are growing and working and striving, we will always have decisions to make. How do we know what to do? Prayer, thank you. Study, meditation, worship, and doing mission together for him. God reveals his will as we are working alongside him. If Christ stood before us right now and asked us to give an accounting for our choices as a church and as individuals in the last couple of years, do you think that we would be, to quote Paul, pure and blameless? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, from Romans. Yeah. The great news is we're already forgiven. But we are to confess and to reflect and to strive to do better as we go forward. The book of Philippians gives us practical advice on how to do this faith thing right. And yes, to find joy. Next week's message, verses 12 to 18, and I'm going to do this every week so that if you want to look ahead and you want to spend time reflecting, and I'll try to get it to Lisa to put it in the bulletin as well. Next week's message is titled, No Fear. Would you like to go forward without fear? I know that I would. I need this book. I think we need this book. I think and I believe that our committee got this just right. This is our story. To find joy and to bring joy as we go forward. Amen? All right, would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, for those things that we have done that do not bring you joy, we ask for your forgiveness. We confess that we do not always please you, and we do not always have the right motivation. Lord, your word tells us that as we come to your table to share communion, that we must confess what is unclean in us and the sins that we have committed. Lord, I ask you to hear the prayers of your people in silence as we lift our confession to you. Lord, thank you that when we confess our sins, you have promised to forgive us. Lord, we are so grateful that you were willing to die on a cross to pay the price for those sins. Lord, thank you for this book of Philippians and for the joy that it will bring us and the insight and the practical advice on how to live our lives to please you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.